in Mandarin.
这里是美国之音的中文广播，现在就开始今天下午六个小时的中文节目。
听众朋友们，大家好，欢迎您收听美国之音，下面为您播报这一时段的国际新闻。韩国宣布从它与朝鲜交界的非军事区撤离高音喇叭，开始实施南北方领导人刚刚签署的板门店宣言。韩国国防部星期一表示，韩国军队将从星期二开始撤除安置在非军事区最前线面向朝鲜的几十个高分贝高音喇叭，并期待朝鲜也采取同样做法。朝鲜领导人金正恩与韩国总统文在寅星期五举行了历史性的峰会，双方共同签署的板门店宣言确认了通过完全放弃核武器实现朝鲜半岛无核化的共同目标。宣言具体提到，双方将停止针对对方的所有敌对行动，包括撤除安装在边界线上向对方做宣传的高音喇叭，并停止从空中散发宣传单。2016年朝鲜第四次实施核武器试验后，首尔当局用高音喇叭向朝鲜播放宣传信息和韩式流行音乐，平壤当局很快以高音喇叭做出回应。板门店宣言还呼吁将南北方在西部海上边界线附近的海域变成和平海域。韩国国防部表示，如何实施这项行动还需要南北军方进行磋商。根据韩朝峰会达成的协议，双方将军级官员将在五月展开会谈。美国川普政府高级官员继续对朝鲜声称愿意放弃核武器保持谨慎，但表示会认真把握时机，争取最好的结果。美国国家安全顾问约翰·博尔顿星期天在哥伦比亚广播公司面向全国节目中说，朝鲜过去也承诺过会放弃核武器，并致力于放弃提炼核燃料，但是他没有那么做。朝鲜领导人金正恩与韩国总统文在寅星期五举行了历史性峰会，双方共同签署的板门店宣言确认了通过完全放弃核武器实现朝鲜半岛无核化的共同目标。韩国总统府发言人星期天在详细介绍本次峰会的时候说，金正恩对文在寅说，如果美国致力于正式结束韩战并保证不会攻击朝鲜，那么他愿意放弃核武器。这位韩国官员还说，平壤当局计划今年五月关闭北部的核试验场，并将关闭的具体程序展现给来自美国和韩国的核专家与新闻记者。波尔顿在节目中对朝鲜决定终止核试验和弹道导弹试验也持有谨慎的态度。他说，朝鲜这么做可能显示其研发项目已经达到了一个目前不需要再试验的水平。不过波尔顿说，川普总统决心要把握当前的这个时机，并希望能获得真正的突破。中国外交部长王毅即将访问朝鲜，此前朝鲜领导人金正恩与韩国总统文在寅星期五举行了历史性的峰会。中国星期一发表的一份声明说，应朝鲜外长的邀请，王毅将在5月2日至3日访问朝鲜。这份简要声明没有提到有关这次访问的任何细节。星期天，韩国官员们说，金正恩计划邀请来自韩国和美国的专家与新闻记者参观朝鲜五月关闭核试验场的有关程序。韩国总统府发言人尹永灿引用金正恩的话说，美国虽然对朝鲜存在固有的敌意，但是一旦会谈开始，他会认识到我不是会使用核武器攻击韩国或飞越太平洋攻击美国的那种人。美国国务卿蓬佩奥星期天在美国广播公司新闻节目中说，川普总统计划三四周后跟金正恩会谈，可能取得的最好的成果是平壤释放三名美国人，并答应不可逆转以及能经核实的结束他的核武器项目。蓬佩奥说，美国将密切注视金正恩的具体行动。阿富汗首都喀布尔星期一早上发生两起爆炸袭击，法新社证实该社一名摄影师在采访时被炸死。阿富汗公共健康部称，这两起自杀式爆炸发生在喀布尔市保安措施严密的一个社区，至少21人被炸死，40人受伤。好的，各位听众朋友，以上就是这一时段的国际新闻，感谢您的收听。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
各位听众好，我是杨晨。欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程。课程题材以美国的实践和文化为主。通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们要复习本星期的课程。第一课着重谈工作职责。首先请听节目主持人 Elizabeth 同工程师 Mike Epstein 进行的一次访谈。
Welcome to our show. We have a new guest today. His name is Mr. Michael Epstein.Mr. Epstein is Senior Systems Engineer at Advanced Technologies Incorporated. Hello, Mr. Epstein. Thank you for coming to our program.
It's my pleasure. Please call me Mike.
Okay, Mike. Can you tell us a little about Advanced Technologies?
Well, we're located in Sunnyvale, California.
That's in Silicon Valley, right?
That's right. It's about 40 miles south of San Francisco.
And what does your company produce?
We make electronic components for computers.
Where do you sell your products?
We sell our components in domestic markets and also overseas.
You're a systems engineer, is that correct?
That's right.
What are your main responsibilities?
My main job is to reduce production costs. That's how I became involved in the negotiations with International Robotics. My job was to find ways to cut production costs for the factory we were building near San Francisco.
I see. So you thought industrial robots could provide some cost savings?
Exactly.
Mike, as you know, we'll be talking with you, Shirley Graham, and Charles Blake over the next several weeks. We'll be discussing Charles Blake's trip from China to the United States to visit you and Ms. Graham at Advanced Technologies.
Yes, Mr. Blake came to talk to us about International Robotics Industrial Robots.
And how did you meet Mr. Blake?
I met him in Beijing. I went there to attend a trade show, and he was at the show representing his company. I was interested in the robots his company produces.I thought they might be helpful in our manufacturing process. I invited Mr. Blake to come to Advanced Technologies to talk with us about selling us his robots.
Thank you, Mike. Let's open up the phone lines and see if we have any callers. Caller number one, you're on the air with Functioning in Business.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.Mr. Epstein, I'm a systems engineer too, and I have a question for you.
Great, go ahead.
You said that you were involved in a project to build a new factory. How many factories does Advanced Technologies have?
We currently have 4 in the U.S. and 2 abroad.
Where are they located?
Our main factory is in Los Angeles, and we have smaller factories in Northern California.
What about overseas?
We have 1 factory in the Philippines and 1 in Mexico.
I see. Thank you.
Caller number 2, you're on the air.
Thank you. Mr. Epstein, I was wondering what products Advanced Technologies manufactures.
Well, we make electronic components and office computers.
What kinds of electronic components?
Mostly computer related.
I see. Does your company currently use robots on your assembly lines?
Yes, we do.The work has to be very precise.
I see. Thank you very much.
Mr. Epstein, thank you for being on our show.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Let's take a short break.
文化点滴。今天我们要讲的是，在美国，是长期在一家公司任职好，还是经常变换工作好？
Hello again. We're here with Gary Engleton, our business language expert. We have an email question for you, Gary. The question is, in the U.S., is it better to stay with one company or to change jobs?
If you want to be an important executive in a large corporation, it is probably better to change companies at least once or twice. Large corporations hire at least half of their top executives from outside the company.You should try to stay at each job for at least a year, however. Otherwise, it will look bad.
Here's another email question. What should I do if I want to change jobs?
Well, the most important thing is to keep your skills up to date. This is especially important if you aren't young anymore. It is unfortunate, but some employers may think that your knowledge is out of date. Take college classes in your field at night, or on weekends, or even on the internet.
Do you have any other advice?
Yes, stay in close contact with everyone you know in other companies. Send them friendly emails and cards. Ask them for advice and offer yours. Build up your network. This network will be useful if you need their help to move to their company someday.
Thank you, Gary. Let's take a break.
Okay,
before we get started, let's go around the table and introduce ourselves. My name is Rachel Jones, and I'm a cultural sensitivity trainer. I train executives to understand cultural differences in the workplace. How about you, Dan?
My name is Dan Alvarez. I'm an accountant at Acme Accounting. I prepare tax documents for large and small businesses.
I'm Janine Walters. I'm a sales representative for Ace Department Stores. I handle sales for the Northeastern United States.
My name is George Potowski. I'm general manager at Astro Electronics. We sell TVs, VCRs, radios, that sort of thing. I'm in charge of the sales personnel, and I make sure that our inventory is up to date.
Thank you all for those introductions.
Gary 提示。
Welcome back. It's time for Gary's Tips. What's your topic for today, Gary?
Today, I'll be talking about describing your job responsibilities. In many situations, you need to describe what you do in your job. In a job interview, for example, you need to be able to state two or three of your main responsibilities. And when you meet other business people at a meeting, a trade show, or even at a party, they may ask you what you do in your job. You should be able to describe what you do in one or two sentences. Think of a clear way to describe what you do. Let's listen again to part of the business dialogue. Listen for the expressions, I train and I prepare.
My name is Rachel Jones, and I'm a cultural sensitivity trainer. I train executives to understand cultural differences in the workplace. How about you, Dan?
My name is Dan Alvarez. I'm an accountant at Acme Accounting. I prepare tax documents for large and small businesses.
Let's listen to some more of the business dialogue. This time, listen for the phrases I handle and I'm in charge of.
I'm Janine Walters. I'm a sales representative for Ace Department Stores. I handle sales for the Northeastern United States.
My name is George Potowski. I'm general manager at Astro Electronics. We sell TVs, VCRs, radios, that sort of thing. I'm in charge of the sales personnel, and I make sure that our inventory is up to date.
We just heard people describing what they do in their jobs. Try writing down what you do in your work. Then think of one or two sentences that clearly describe what you do and practice saying them. Well, that's all we have time for today. I hope today's tips were helpful.
Thanks, Gary.
本星期第二课主要讲怎样介绍你的工作经历。首先是访谈时间。
Our guest today is Mr. Michael Epstein. Hello again, Mike. Thank you for coming back to our program.
Hello again. It's nice to be back.
You said you're a systems engineer at Advanced Technologies. Is that correct?
That's right.
What's your background, Mike?
I have a background in both engineering and business.
I see. Where did you study engineering?
At Stanford. I majored in electrical engineering.
And when did you graduate?
1988. I graduated in 1988.
I see. And what did you do after graduation?
My first job was as an engineer for a small company in San Francisco.
And what were your responsibilities?
I was a quality assurance engineer. I worked for them for just under 2 years.
Why did you leave?
I became more interested in the business side of things, so I decided to go back to school to get my MBA.
Did you go back to Stanford?
Yes, I did. I was married at the time, and my wife was also working in San Francisco, so I didn't want to leave the Bay Area.
When did you get your MBA?
In 1992.
Then what?
Well, I was looking for a position with a medium-sized company. Advanced technology seemed like the right place for me.
And now you are senior systems engineer there?
That's right.
Do you like your work?
Yes, I do. Very much.
What do you do when you're not working, Mike?
Well, I enjoy golf, but I don't get much time to play.
Hello again. We're here with Gary Engleton, our business language expert. Let's look at our email questions, Gary.
All right.
Our first question is, how much vacation do Americans get?
Most American workers get at least 2 weeks vacation. In some companies, workers get longer vacations after a few years. In addition, most companies give their workers some holidays, like Christmas and July 4th, and some days of sick time. Some part-time workers, however, are not paid for vacations.
Thanks, Gary. Our second question is, what is the average work day and work week?
We generally think of an 8-hour day and a 40-hour week as normal. High-level executives, however, are usually expected to work as much as 50 to 60 hours a week because they are paid so much. But at startup companies, people work even more hours, sometimes for very little pay.
Thanks for your comments, Gary.
My pleasure.
Let's take a short break.
Can you tell me a little about the jobs you've held?
Certainly. How far back would you like me to go?
Tell me about the two jobs you held before your current job.
All right. Well, from 1991 to 1994, I was an assistant manager at a food processing plant in New Jersey. I was in charge of scheduling workers on the assembly line. Then, at the end of 1994, I took a position as general manager with Ace Foods. I held that position until I moved to my current position in 1997.
And what were your responsibilities as general manager?
As general manager, I made sure production schedules were met.
Gary 提示。
Welcome back. It's time for Gary's Tips. What's your topic for today, Gary?
Today, I'll be talking about describing your job history. Last week, we talked about how to talk about your educational background in a job interview. Often you will be asked in a job interview to describe your job history. An interviewer might ask you to describe the previous jobs you have held. In your description, you should say what your job title was, where you worked, when you held the position, and what your job responsibilities were. Let's listen to a portion of the business dialogue where Ms. White tells about her job at a food processing plant. Try to answer these two questions. What was Ms. White's job title? Where did she work? Let's listen.
Tell me about the two jobs you held before your current job.
All right. Well, from 1991 to 1994, I was an assistant manager at a food processing plant in New Jersey.
What was Ms. White's job title? She was assistant manager. Where did she work? Ms. White didn't give the name of the company, but she said she worked at a food processing plant in New Jersey. Listen again to part of the dialogue and answer these two questions. When did Ms. White work as assistant manager?
What were Ms. White's responsibilities? Let's listen.
Well, from 1991 to 1994, I was an assistant manager at a food processing plant in New Jersey. I was in charge of scheduling workers on the assembly line.
When was Ms. White assistant manager? She was assistant manager from 1991 to 1994. And what were Ms. White's responsibilities? She was in charge of scheduling workers. Well, that's all we have time for today. I hope today's tips were helpful.
Thanks very much, Gary.
Elizabeth 采访先锋技术公司的副总裁 Shirley Graham.
Our guest today is Ms. Shirley Graham. Ms. Graham is Senior Vice President at Advanced Technologies. Good evening, Ms. Graham. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
We have already met Mike Epstein, who is a Senior Systems Engineer at your company. He explained to us how he met Charles Blake in China at a trade show. Mr. Epstein was interested in purchasing industrial robots from Mr. Blake's company for one of your factories.
Yes, that's right. Mr. Epstein felt that the industrial robots would increase productivity at our new factory.
And you were also involved in the negotiations about the robots?
Yes, I was. Both Mr. Epstein and I met with Mr. Blake when he visited our company.
We'll be talking more about those meetings in the coming weeks. Let's tell our listeners a little about your work at Advanced Technologies. As Vice President, what are your main responsibilities?
One thing I do is oversee our manufacturing plants and facilities. Last year, we built a new factory, and of course, we're always modernizing our existing facilities.
I see. And what are your main concerns in the construction of a new factory?
That's a very complex question. Of course, one concern is keeping costs within limits. We also have to be concerned with a design that will help improve our productivity and provide flexibility for the future.
How many people work for you?
Well, I have 5 senior engineers who report directly to me, including Mike Epstein. I also have my own support staff.
Before coming to Advanced Technologies, what did you do?
I worked for Boston Electronics for 5 years.
And what did you do there?
I was in charge of marketing.
Why did you leave?
I felt that I could handle more responsibility, and the company wasn't growing at that time, so I began looking for a new position.
Did you work with an executive recruiter?
Yes, I did. She was very helpful. She told me that there was a position opening up at Advanced Technologies.
What attracted you to Advanced Technologies?
The opportunities for growth and for greater responsibility.
I see. Do you feel that you made a good choice?
Oh, definitely. My work is challenging, and I'm well rewarded.
Where do you live?
My husband and I live in Woodside. That's a little town about 30 miles south of San Francisco.
Oh, what does your husband do?
He's a high school teacher.
And what do you like to do in your free time?
Well, my husband and I both love horseback riding. We don't have any children, so we spend a lot of time with the horses.
Where do you go riding?
We ride in the hills above Woodside.
How interesting. Well, thank you, Ms. Graham. Let's open up the phone lines and see if we have any callers. Caller number 1, you're on the air with Functioning in Business.
Hello, I have a question for Ms. Graham. What is your educational background? What prepared you to handle your current position?
I graduated from Mills College in 1988 with a business major. Then I worked for several years in sales and marketing. In 1990, I went back to school to get my MBA.
Where did you go?
I went to the University of Pennsylvania.
I see. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us today.
It was my pleasure, Elizabeth.
文化点滴。
Hello again. We're here with Gary Angleton, our business language expert. Let's look at our email questions, Gary.
All right.
Our first question is it common for a woman to be a manager in the U.S.?
In fields such as law and medicine, the percentage of women is increasing quickly. However, in corporations, there are still not many women in the top jobs.
Here's another question. Is women's pay equal to men's?
In corporations, women still generally make less than men. Pay equality is an important issue in business.
And one more question. Is it difficult for a woman to supervise men?
Some men don't like to have a female boss, but that's changing.
In my experience, most of the men I supervise accept me as their supervisor.
Yes, I think most men today are quite comfortable with a woman as a supervisor.
Let's take a break, Gary.
Okay.
Hi, my name's Fred Jones.
Hello, Fred. I'm Sue Carter.
Nice to meet you, Sue.
Nice to meet you too, Fred. What type of work are you in?
I work for Ace Department Stores in New York. I'm a sales manager.
I work in sales too. I'm the sales rep for Acme Electronics in Philadelphia.
How do you like living in Philadelphia?
Philadelphia is great. The people are very nice.
Have you lived there a long time?
No, I just moved there 2 years ago. How about you? Do you like living in New York City?
Well, the weather is terrible, but I love the theaters and restaurants.
Do you go to the theater a lot?
Yes, my wife and I see a lot of plays. New York is great.
Gary 提示，这次我们请 Gary 谈一谈工商人士之间应当怎样谈论私事。
Welcome back. It's time for Gary's Tips. What's your topic for today, Gary?
Today, I'll be talking about personal questions in business settings. Personal questions are questions about your living situation, family, and interests. Some personal questions are safe to ask, and others are not so safe. When you're in a business setting, it's best to stick to safe topics. Some safe topics are where someone lives, how long the person has lived there, and what interests a person has. Let's listen to the business dialogue again. In the conversation, Fred asks Sue how she likes living in Philadelphia and how long she's lived there. Let's listen.
I'm the sales rep for Acme Electronics in Philadelphia.
How do you like living in Philadelphia?
Philadelphia is great. The people are very nice.
Have you lived there a long time?
No, I just moved there 2 years ago.
Then Sue asks Fred if he likes living in New York. She also asks him a question about his interest in the theater. Let's listen.
How about you? Do you like living in New York City?
Well, the weather is terrible, but I love the theaters and restaurants.
Do you go to the theater a lot?
Yes, my wife and I see a lot of plays. New York is great.
There are some topics which are not safe to ask someone unless you know the person very well. You shouldn't ask if someone is married, or about the person's age or religion, or about how much money a person makes or spends. It's also a bad idea to talk about politics in business situations. It is much better to stay with very safe topics. Well, that's all we have time for today. I hope today's tips were helpful.
Thanks very much, Gary. Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
今天的商务通英语就复习到这里。谢谢各位收听。我们下星期再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套辅导学习材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
下面为您播报这一时段的国际新闻。韩国宣布从它与朝鲜交界的非军事区撤除高音喇叭，开始实施南北方领导人刚刚签署的板门店宣言。韩国国防部星期一表示，韩国军队将从星期二开始撤除安置在非军事区最前线面向朝鲜的几十个高音喇叭，并期待朝鲜也采取同样的做法。朝鲜领导人金正恩与韩国总统文在寅星期五举行了历史性峰会，双方共同签署的板门店宣言确认了通过完全放弃核武器实现朝鲜半岛无核化的共同目标。宣言具体提到，双方将停止针对对方的所有敌对行为，包括撤除安装在边界线上向对方做宣传的高音喇叭，并停止从空中散发宣传单。2016年朝鲜第四次实施核武器试验之后，首尔当局用高音喇叭向朝鲜播放宣传信息和韩式流行音乐，平壤当局很快引高音喇叭做出回应。板门店宣言还呼吁将南北方在西部海上边界线附近的海域变成和平海域。韩国国防部表示，如何实施这项行动还需要南北军方进行磋商。根据韩朝峰会达成的协议，双方将军级官员将在五月展开会谈。美国川普政府高级官员继续对朝鲜声称愿意放弃核武器保持谨慎，但表示会认真把握时机，争取最好的结果。美国国家安全顾问约翰·博尔顿星期天在哥伦比亚广播公司面向全国节目中说，朝鲜过去也承诺会放弃核武器，并致力于放弃提炼核燃料，但是他没有这么做。朝鲜领导人金正恩与韩国总统文在寅星期五举行了历史性峰会，双方共同签署的板门店宣言确认了通过完全放弃核武器实现朝鲜半岛无核化的共同目标。韩国总统府发言人星期天在详细介绍本次峰会的时候说，金正恩对文在寅说，如果美国致力于正式结束韩战并保证不会攻击朝鲜，那么他愿意放弃核武器。这位韩国官员还说，平壤当局计划今年五月关闭北部的核试验场，并将关闭的具体程序展现给来自美国和韩国的核专家与新闻记者。博尔顿在节目中对朝鲜决定终止核试验和弹道导弹试验也持有谨慎的态度。他说，朝鲜这么做可能显示其研发项目已经达到了一个目前不需要再试验的水平。不过博尔顿说，川普总统决心要把握当前的这个时机，并希望能获得真正的突破。中国外交部长王毅即将访问朝鲜，此前朝鲜领导人金正恩与韩国总统文在寅星期五举行了历史性的峰会。中国星期一发表的一份声明说，应朝鲜外长的邀请，王毅将在5月2日至3日访问朝鲜。这份简要声明没有提到有关这次访问的任何细节。星期天，韩国官员们说，金正恩计划邀请来自韩国和美国的专家与新闻记者参观朝鲜五月关闭核试验场的有关程序。韩国总统府发言人尹永灿引用金正恩的话说，美国虽然对朝鲜存在固有的敌意，但是一旦会谈开始，他会认识到我不是会使用核武器攻击韩国或飞越太平洋攻击美国的那种人。美国国务卿蓬佩奥星期天在美国广播公司新闻节目中说，川普总统计划三四周后跟金正恩会谈，可能取得的最好的成果是平壤释放三名美国人，并答应不可逆转以及能经核实的结束他的核武器项目。蓬佩奥说，美国将密切注视金正恩的具体行动。阿富汗首都喀布尔星期一早上发生两起爆炸袭击，法新社证实，该社一名摄影师在采访时被炸死。阿富汗公共健康部称，这两起自杀式爆炸发生在喀布尔市保安措施严密的一个社区，至少21人被炸死，40人受伤。多个消息来源说，至少5名新闻记者被炸死。第一起自杀爆炸攻击发生在阿富汗国家安全部一座大楼外，当救援人员和新闻记者聚集在爆炸现场时，人群中发生第二起自杀爆炸，炸死了那名法新社记者和其他人。目前还没有人声称对星期一的爆炸负责。国际新闻就播报到这里。
以下为您重播美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈节目，因为是节目录音，请您不要拨打电话。
听众观众朋友们好，欢迎收听收看 VOA 卫视4月25号星期三的时事大家谈，我是许波，我们在美国之音华盛顿演播室为您现场报道。美国制裁中兴让中国感受到切肤之痛，举国上下一片反思之声，激发起新一轮的民族主义浪潮。国家主席习近平说，国之重器不能受制于人。产业界代表的马云也表示，不掌握核心技术就等于在别人家的地基上盖房子，在别人家的菜地里种菜。更有人呼吁呢，要发扬当年两弹一星的精神，自力更生，打破美国的封锁。那么为什么一个小小的芯片能让庞大的中兴通讯一筹莫展，并让厉害了我的国不敢再轻言厉害了呢？中国芯片工业目前处于什么样的水平？举国体制搞芯片能不能挽回中兴的困局？今天我们时事大家谈就邀请专家与听众观众及网友朋友们一同来探讨这些问题。在美国维吉尼亚州通过视频连线参加节目的是维吉尼亚大学商学院教授陈昭辉。陈教授您好。
你好，主持人好，大家好。
在北京通过电话连线加入访谈的是北京经济学者胡星斗教授。胡教授您好。
主持人好，观众朋友们好。
我们欢迎两位嘉宾，同时我们欢迎听众观众朋友们拨打美国之音免费热线电话参加我们节目讨论，号码是400-120-0551 400-120-0551。另外呢，您还可以通过 VOA 卫视在 YouTube 上的网上直播收看并加入我们的现场讨论，网址是 youtube.com/VOAChina。一个小小的芯片，刚才我讲到呢，居然能够让中国高科技庞然大物中兴通信呢一筹莫展，引起了中国举国上下的一片反思。那我首先请教维吉尼亚州的陈教授，陈昭辉教授啊，有人说呢，美国对中兴的制裁，这个矛头是直指中国制造2025，是要扼杀中国的高科技发展。那您怎么看这种说法呢，陈教授
？OK， 我觉得要真正的回答这个问题，要回答好呢，我们要区分两个很重要的概念 ，OK， 就是说现在美国对中国的企业的一些措施、一些制裁呢，到底是以什么样的动机做成的 ？OK， 动机一呢，就像您刚才说的啊，就是为什么？就是为我们要就是美国要把中国的高科技产品遏制住啊，特别是中国制造2025。这样的话呢，我一旦就是对这些高科技进行打压的话，这样就能保证美国在高科技乃至对其他方面的一切领域的领导的龙头地位，啊，这个呢就是其中一个动机。另外一个动机呢，就是说啊，这个对这些高科技产业的这些措施、这些行为呢，不是目的，而只是手段。目的是什么呢？目的就是说是要在谈判上、贸易谈判上面呢得到进展，就是让中国政府呢就是走到谈判桌前，然后的话呢就是对啊 W 就是中国在加入 WTO 进行的承诺啊进行落实，甚至做出更大的市场的开放、更深入的改革，特别是对知识产权的保护呢，就是落到了实处。OK。就是这两个情况下呢，是什么呢？就是在我个人认为呢，我个人更偏向于呢是第二种，主要就是什么呢？就是说，我认为这不过是在这次贸易冲突当中的一种手段，而不是目的。
好的，那么我请教北京的胡星斗教授啊，现在中国网上言论什么都有，有人愤怒，有人悲伤，有人幸灾乐祸，也有人嘲讽。那您怎么看这些言论？为什么制裁中兴会引起这么多的思考呢？
的确，一个小小的芯片牵动了亿万人的心。在那么一个指甲大的芯片上，它集成了几十亿个晶体管，几十亿个二极管，可能30亿到70个亿个。它实际上涉及到中国的发展模式， 涉及到中国的创新体制。目前中国的发展模式呢，还是那种粗放的，唯物的，一切都是物资，拜金的，官本位的，靠行政权力来干预，来实现经济发展。整个国家它都是一个加工厂，似乎只需要工人，不需要科研人员，不需要工程师。工程师、科研人员的收入都很低，整个加工厂、整个企业都被房地产所挤压，你辛辛苦苦开一个，几千人、上万人的企业，那还不如买几套房挣钱，就这样的一种这个发展模式，怎么可能能够研发出这种？小小的芯片呢，对对，的确是很困难，一个小指甲上可能几十亿个这个二极管。还有呢，就是引起我们这种思考呢，就是我们的这个创新体制，就是整个国家它没有信仰，或者说呢它只崇尚权力和金钱，也没有契约精神，没有诚信的概念。假大空这个盛行，处处是禁区，到处都是雷区，天天满足于自我的吹嘘，连一个连说话都胆战心惊的这样一个地方，你说这个让人们要有创新精神，要能够在芯片方面自主创新，这个的确很难。就说你看整个中国，全中国能有几个教授，这个大学的教授可以自由的接受外国媒体的采访。可能除了我之外，可能很难找到另外一两个。就说整个民族的创造力、想象力，都被压制，或者说中国人的创造力全部发挥到了这个溜须拍马呀、投机取巧啊、这个欺骗、剽窃啊，在这都发挥到这方面了。所以我说，中外中国与发达国家的技术差距固然比较大，但是文明的差距可能更大。如果我们不承认普世的价值，不尊重人，这个不尊重科学，这个项目上马，领导说上马就上马，不尊重科学，那么这样的落后的状况啊，还是很难改变。要建立创新型国家，还是很难做到。所以这一个小小的芯片呢，的确引起我们很多的思考。
好，那美国方面的这个制裁中兴的原因呢，很简单，就是违反规则。但是许多中国人好像不买这个账，认为呢，川普政府是小题大做，中国和中兴公司受了委屈。那陈教授，不知道您怎么看这个问题？
是这么回事，就像，我同意就是刚才胡教授说的一些观点了。我认为呢，这个呢，就是实际上，就是如果说是就像，就是很多中国的网友说的，就是如果真是美国政府要给中兴穿小鞋 ，OK， 假设他确确实是那个就是被冤枉的，那么真是用不着这么麻烦啊。实际上，对中兴和华为的那个调查是2012年就正式启动了。而且的话，最后这个结果是，我记得这个 settlement 就是这个惩罚的处是两方最后和谈达成协议，是2017年的事情。所以说的话，如果他真是要打压中国，打压中芯企业的话，就是打压中芯或者打压中国高技术企业的话，他用不着这么麻烦啊。他直接下那个商业部下行政命令，或者说是通过其他比较一些激烈一些的手段，比方说有一个叫做 IEEPA， 就是叫国际经济 势力紧急法案啊，就是说是我就可以采取激烈的措施。还有的话就是什么呢，就是那个国会有个 Committee for Foreign Investment in the US 叫 CFIUS， 就这些的就行政手段呢，就直接就可以把这些啊把这些公司的进行就是可以直接的进行打压。所以说的话，他花了这么长时间，花了这么多力气，然后通过和解以后，然后的话又不断的进行在核实这些和解，在此过程中，当然了，我就是看了报道了，我没有直接看到其中的一些细节，就发现了这个中兴公司实际上在当中做的很多方法做的都是非常不对的，OK， 所以说的话，如果说是美国企业，如果说是中兴做出像中兴公司这样的事情，比如说伪造证据啦、销毁证据啊，这不单单是要制裁的问题，很多人要坐牢的。真正是因为是这个原因，而且的话，你看最近啊，你要是注意消息的话，商务部已经是松口了，就说是可以让中兴再重新就是补交证据，他们可以重新，就说这个事情还有商量的余地。哎，所以说这话就回到我刚才说的第一个问题，就是说美国真是想打压中国的高新企业，他根本用不着跟你玩这些东西，他直接就把你打死就完了。
好的，那么我请教胡教授，您怎么看这个问题？中兴公司到底是美中贸易的牺牲品，还是他咎由自取呢？
是啊，这个是否要遵守契约，这个是中国可以说100多年来非常纠结的一个问题。中国它过去没有一种契约精神嘛。所以100多年前你看鸦片战争之后，这个中外也是达成了协议，然后五口通商，达成了协议以后呢，这满清政府又不遵守，结果阻挠这个外国人登陆广州，而且呢还下令国人呢去杀外国人，每杀一个还奖励这个30两银子等等。后来这个引起了他们的入侵。后来呢这个又达成了协议啊，这个容许外国人在北京派驻大使公使之类的啊，这个达成了协议，结果最后呢又不遵守这个协议，而且把一些外交官，外国的外交官，这个几十个都扣留下来了，而且还导致几十个外交官的死亡。就说中国100多年来都在为这个事情纠结，就说跟外国人达成了协议，要不要遵守？啊，这个满清政府呢，他是觉得不需要遵守，啊，那我们现在也遇到这样一个问题，就说我们要融入国际社会，我们就要遵守国际规则，我们必须讲诚信，否则可能就会被人抛弃了。你像中国入世的时候承诺了很多，比如说不以技术转让作为市场准入的门槛，要加入那种全球的那种政府采购协议国有企业的占市场的份额要不断的减少，外资的银行要享受国民的待遇，要向外国开放通信市场，要向国外开放电影这些文化市场，这个出口补贴要减少等等，这样达成了很多的协议，但是后来在履行的过程中，可能就存在着这个差距。这个中兴这个事情呢，也有点是，就是说他自己这种阳奉阴违投机取巧这个不遵守规则被人抓了这个现行，结果呢还强词夺理而且还怨天尤人这就是一种国人的一种惯用一个惯常的一种思维方式。一切都怪美帝都是一切都是美帝的这个不好，就是说从来没想到，也应该反省一下我自身，如果说美帝的不好，像波音飞机，它也曾经违规被也严厉的惩罚，当然美国它可能也有比如说在某个方面要抑制这个红色中国这种崛起，这方面也许它有这方面的一种思考，也许，但是我觉得作为中国人呢，可能还是要更多的来思考我们。我们怎样来要有这种契约的精神，要制定出一个要形成一个规则的一个社会， 要遵守那些普世的价值，而不要去搞那些鸡鸣狗盗的这样的一些事情。
嗯，
你只有建立一个尊重人、尊重规则的制度，这样才能够获得别人的尊重，而且呢，中华民族才能够真正的崛起。
好的，我们现在呢接电话，把听众观众朋友们接到我们节目中，看看他们的听听他们的想法。首先是天津的王先生，王先生你好。
首先那个，占了我们的市场，还不允许我们要技术，这本身就是一种霸道，对吧？占了市场还不让我们要技术，也不让我们进步，这是把我们当傻子在耍嘛？
嗯。
然后这个芯片的问题，全国人民都可以研究这个，举国之力可以研，我相信应该可以研究出来。
好的，谢谢天津的王先生。我们下面呢要讨论举国体制搞芯片，看看能不能搞出来。下一位是河北的张先生，张先生你好。
哎，你好。
嗯，
我就想问问这个胡教授，为什么原来那么左，现在怎么这么右了？胡教授是不是这个利益受到什么这个制裁了，还是怎么回事？我特别想问问胡教授啊。
好的，谢谢。那胡青斗教授，请您回应一下我们这位湖北的张先生好吗？
因为这位张先生他不了解我，他说我过去特别左，我过去也从来没有特别左。
是的，
因为他不了解我，可能也没看过我的多少作品。我现在也不特别右，因为我一直是坚持叫做中道啊，在这个中间道路啊，中道客观理性的来进行这个评论。
好的，
那
这一点呢我可以来作证啊。胡青斗教授呢是我们的这个美国之音呢经常采访的这个一位学者，他的确是就事论事，从来没有特别左也没有特别右过。好的，我们继续呢接着我们的讨论啊。观察人士说呢，这是美国对中国发动的一次精准打击，说打蛇打到了七寸，让中国很痛。那请教陈教授，您如何看待美国对中兴动手的这个影响？中兴公司它伤到元气了吗？中国高科技产业岌岌可危了吗？
OK， 这个问题呢是得这么看。对，我觉得呢就是对中兴公司的打击呢是很大的。
嗯，
就是中兴公司自己也承认了，这个是这个公司处于一种休克状态，确实是啊。就是如果说美国真的是执行了落实了这个制裁的话，对这个公司打击是很大的。 OK， 但是呢就是像我刚才说的，上周末的时候呢似乎呢情况有些松动，所以说呢到底怎么走呢现在还看不出来。
嗯，
就像我说的，就是这个事情呢现在种种迹象来看呢，实际上就是对跟北京的这个贸易谈判的其中的一些姿态一些筹码吧。所以说的话，这个问题就是对中国高科技的企业的打击呢，我觉得现在说这个话呢还为时过早。为什么呢？因为现在无非就是现在真正的就是采取措施打击的话，无非就是这两家企业，一家华为，一家中兴，所以说的话，中国有很多很多高新企业，而且的话很多很多高新企业都在美国，所以说的话，要说是他对中国高新企业的元气大伤呢，我觉得我们还得等等，才能下结论。
好的，
另外一个方面呢，就是就像我说的，我现在实际上看呢，这些东西都是短暂的，包括对中兴的制裁。我觉得呢，美国政府的目标呢，就是要让大家一起谈判，让大家呢遵守游戏规则，然后呢，让这个贸易呢健康长久的发展下去。
好，请教胡教授啊，您在中国对此感受可能更深一些。美国的出手，对于中兴，对中国的影响究竟有多大？
对中国，应当来说还是有比较大的影响。
嗯。
因为中国消费了世界54%的芯片，那个美国的高通62%的利润都是来自于中国，如果对中兴，甚至未来可能对华为，对阿里巴巴等等，都采取措施啊， 的确很有可能，极大的影响中国的这样的这个电子工业啊、机械工业等等呢、啊。中国的这个电子控制系统的那个芯片呢、啊，80%以上都是靠进口，啊，这个甚至连这个电动自行车的那个芯片，也是几乎全都靠进口，啊，如果美国、这个欧洲、日本联合起来对中国进行芯片的话，那的确，所有的这个电子控制系统的，包括家用电器的、汽车的、飞机的、电网控制的等等等等，可能都遇到了这个难题。
嗯。
啊，当然不仅仅是这个芯片的一个问题哈，那个要生产芯片，它可能还涉及到这个材料、生产工艺、加工设备等等，啊。而这些东西，比如说像机械行业，如果这种精密仪器，这个精密机床等等，基本上都被德国、日本、美国等等控制。
嗯。
啊，这个甚至就工业机器人的一些核心技术，还有什么这一些高水平的那些轴承，啊。甚至那种证件的制造，大家知道中国的这种身份证之类的这种证照，可能这样的一些技术，基本上大部分都被这个国外所控制。
嗯，
所以在这样一种状况，的确是引起我们这个中国人的担心，而且呢，的确也应当激励我们中国人呢，未来怎样。在这些方面要赶上世界的水平。
好的，那么刚才胡教授提到，激励了更多的中国人呢，可能要觉得要在近短的时间内赶上世界先进水平。那么现在就有很多人认为呢，美国制裁对于中国来说可能不一定是坏事，亡羊补牢，为时不晚。现在我们看到习近平讲话了，马云也讲话了，那陈教授您怎么看中国人的这个决心呢？
就是用几国的力量，通过行政干预，然后来进行这种就是全民一哄而上的这种怎么说呢？就是大跃进吧。
嗯。
我呢，总的来说呢，是不赞成的。我想呢，就是说是中国过去的经验，还有的话就是在国内，包括那个胡先生，包括吴敬琏先生，包括张武英先生，已经说得很清楚了。对，在这种就是举国之力把事情办好，攻克一个难关。
嗯，
啊，这个是呢，在特殊的情况下，比方说在战争时期，这是可能是必须的，所以说也是有效的。所以说呢，在这种情况下呢，可能是个在特殊情况下是可以的。
嗯，
但是在一般情况下呢，就可能会造成很大的问题。OK， 现在如果说是举个例子吧。在50年代，我们是说是要赶上世界先进潮流，我们要赶英超美 ，OK。然后的话，我们要做什么？大仗战钢铁，我们要成为世界，你知道，就是不是第一就是第二的钢铁生产国。我觉得现在我们这个国内的舆论就有点像那个时候的情况。
嗯
，OK， 现在不是要大仗钢铁，是要大仗芯片，我们全国都要搞芯片。但是问题是你看看我们这个。大战钢铁以后，你看出现了什么样的问题，对不对？我们就马上导致了3年的自然灾害。
嗯，
当然我不是说是现在这个情况会回到原来那个地步，但是的话，我觉得呢，大家一定要理性，一定要冷静，就是说，是不是以举国体制去达成一种商业上的目的？是不是值得这个问题呢？我希望大家能够好好讨论，好好思考。
我们的时间呢到了啊，今天时事大家能讨论呢到这里就结束。时间关系，不能一一接听听众观众朋友们的电话以及回答网友提出的问题。感谢陈朝晖、胡星斗两位教授参加我们的节目。时事大家谈是一个自由论坛，我们嘉宾、听众、观众发表的都是个人观点，不代表美国之音。韩朝峰会即将登场 ，VOA 卫视呢明晚8点将为您播出特别节目，剖析文津会能否缔造朝鲜半岛的永久和平，以及半岛周边地区的反应和期待。感谢您按时收听。收看，我是许波，下次节目再会。